Jesus taught so many real-life lessons through real-life illustrations, also known as parables. Join us on this 8-week journey as we discover some of Jesus' real-life lessons and how we can apply them to our everyday lives.
Welcome back to the 7th session in our series, Real Life Lessons. We are so excited that you're joining us today. And if you've missed any of the sessions along the way, you can go to our Bridge Women YouTube page where you can catch up on any of the sessions that you've missed. And I also hope that you've been joining us in the Bible reading plan that we're doing churchwide. I love how that Bible reading plan so beautifully complements this series. And I'm so excited to be here sharing with you. And today, we are going to jump right in with the parable of the persistent widow, and that's found in Luke chapter 18. So if you've got your Bibles with you, turn with me to Luke 18, and starting in verse 1, it says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." So basically he's saying, I don't care about right and wrong. I don't fear God, and I don't care about this widow, but she's driving me crazy, so I'm just going to give her what she wants so she will finally leave me alone. Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" You know, this is the first time that we're jumping into a parable and we read that the main point, the big idea, is stated clearly in Scripture before we even begin reading the parable. Luke stated that the main principle of the parable in his own words in verse 1 when he said, "Men always ought to pray and not lose heart." But in our own words today, we could state the principle of this parable as pray. Don't be discouraged and don't give up. You know, as we unpack this, we're going to look at several different things, but we need to realize there's a person, this widow, and she's got a big problem. She's got a big need, and there is a judge who just doesn't care. And so as we unpack this, we're going to look at three main points in this parable today. And the first one is that God is a just God who cares about the needs of his people. Jesus is contrasting the nature of God to the nature of this unjust judge to show if the unjust judge is willing to respond to persistence, how much more will God, who is just, respond to us? He cares for us, he cares about our needs, and he will answer. You know, 1 Peter 5:7 tells us that we can cast all our cares upon God because he cares for us. And in Philippians chapter 3, Paul writes that he will meet all of our needs according to his glorious riches. When we pray, God cares, he listens, and he answers. And in 1 John 5:14 and 15, it says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask for anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him." So I just want to encourage you, whatever it is you're facing, if you've got a financial need, a physical need, a relational need, God cares. So bring those things to him. When we pray, we can have confidence that he hears and he will answer because he is just and he cares about your needs. God also wants us to ask with persistence when we come to him. This widow, she had a need. She had a situation where she needed justice, and the judge was the one who could bring it. But he didn't care about her. He had no reverence for God, so he would have no regard for what was right and what was wrong. He was just unjust. So it would have seemed impossible for this unjust judge to bring about justice. How could this widow have expected a good result? His reputation was well known. Everybody knew he didn't care about right or wrong. He didn't care about God. He didn't care about people. But she was desperate. So even though it looked impossible, she didn't give up. She kept on asking. And God wants us to come to him and ask too. In Matthew 7, we hear this verse often if we're around church, and it says, ask and it will be given to you. But that word ask actually means ask and keep on asking. And I love the way this verse reads in the Amplified Bible, because it pulls on that original language a little bit. And it says in Matthew 7:7, ask and keep on asking and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. And then in Psalm 116, verse 2, the psalmist writes, because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. After Jesus says that the unjust judge was worn out from her persistence and intervened, then he says, how much more will the just God intervene when his own people cry out to him day and night? You see, our asking acknowledges our need for God, and it opens the door for him to work in our life. Now, I also want us to notice that this widow, she only went to the judge. It doesn't say she went to anyone else. It doesn't say she ran around town. She went straight to the one who had the power to change her situation. And in this life, we're going to have needs. But I want to ask, who do you run to when those things come up? Who do you tell first? Who do you go to for help? Let's learn from the example of this persistent widow and run straight to Jesus with every need, no matter how big or how small, because he is the one who has the power to help. And he wants us to come to him because he cares for us. And he wants us to ask with persistence. Our persistence reveals our faith. You know, Jesus concludes this parable by saying, or asking rather, if when he returns, will he really find this kind of faith on the earth? The widow's faith was so evident in her persistence. She didn't accept the judge's answer as final the first time that she went to him, or the second, or the third, or the fourth. We don't know how many times she went to him, but what we do know is that she was determined and she did not give up. And you know, in the same way, we get to choose who has the final word. We are to have more faith in God's word than in people's words. Psalm 27, 13 and 14 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And then in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Our persistence in prayer reveals our faith, and it continues to produce even greater faith and trust and hope in God. So, how do we take what we've learned here? How do we take this parable of the persistent widow and put it to work in our lives and apply it? We've got to start by knowing and reminding ourselves that God cares about us. He cares about you, and he cares about your need. Have you ever found yourself feeling like this widow, desperate for help, needing solutions, needing answers? I know I have. My husband, John, and I, we have two kids. Our daughter, Lila, is 14. Our son, Owen, is 12. And when Owen was a baby, he received a medical diagnosis that really turned our whole world upside down. He was diagnosed with an immune system dysfunction that, instead of only attacking things that were harmful, it was actually on high alert all the time and would just attack things all the time, things that would be healthy for you and me. One of the ways that this presented was in severe life-threatening food allergies. And he didn't just have one or two. He had 18 food allergies that would send him into anaphylactic shock. As a mom with a toddler and a baby, I could no longer go to the grocery store with my kids. It was too dangerous with the food dust in the air. We couldn't go to the park and play or take the kids to my mom and dad's house for dinner. We couldn't do any of that normal stuff. And you know, I just felt so isolated. And then as we're navigating that, we're walking through it, about 18 months in, we discovered a tumor in his head and we were rushed to Children's Hospital. So yes, I know what it feels like to have a need. I know what it feels like to be desperate and need answers and need help that I can't provide for myself. But even more than that, I needed to know and remind myself that God cares. You know, this whole journey has been a process. Owen's 12 now, and it started as a newborn. We got that big diagnosis when he was about 10 months old. But I remember one night, I was up, I couldn't sleep, I was praying, I was crying out to God, pleading with God, God, please fix this, you're the only one who can, please help. And I just felt so strongly in my heart, like I heard God's voice, and he said, I am with you. And I've held on to that. I've drawn upon that to remind myself that God cares and he will help me. He cares about the things I need. And you know, God is with you too. He cares about you and he cares about your needs. And girls, we've got to find God's promises for our situation. We've got to know what his word says. And so I began to get out my Bible and I didn't know what his word said about healing. And so I flipped to the back. In the very back, there's a section that has all of these topics just listed in alphabetical order. And so I just started looking, okay, healing, we need healing. Where is that? And I started to look up those verses and I'd just write them out and I'd put them wherever I could see them so that I could meditate on them all throughout the day. And you know what? If you don't know what those verses are, if you don't know what scripture says about your situation or your challenges in life, I want to encourage you, ask the girls in your group to help you find God's promises for your situation. I went to people, I asked people, hey, do you know what the Bible says about this? And it was incredibly helpful. And then I took those verses and I would meditate on them. I placed them all over the house. I put them on the microwave and the refrigerator and on his breathing machine, all places that I would see very often. And I just began to think on those promises all day long and ask God to speak to me through them. And I want to encourage you, do that. Find those promises, put them where you'll see them. Ask God to speak to you. Think on them. It's so powerful to start getting the word inside of us and thinking on it all day long. And then we need to pray the word. You know, just like this widow, we've got to go to the one who has the power to intervene. And when we pray the word, we can be sure that we are praying in accordance with God's will. So pray those promises. Don't be afraid to say, God, your word says that you are a healer. And so I am asking you to heal. He wants you to come to him in prayer. Remember? And you know what? Over time, as I began knowing those promises, keeping them in front of me, praying me, you know what happened? It began to transform my heart. And I went from knowing the promises to believing them. Girls, we've got to believe God, believe his word. So ask God to help you fully believe what his word says about your situation. Choose to believe his word more than your circumstances. I had to choose to believe God's word, his promises of healing, more than what our life looked like at that moment. We've got to choose to believe his word even more than we believe other people. Let's recognize what voices we're allowing to speak into our own beliefs about our circumstances. You know, by the time Owen was 4 years old, we had 8 specialists tell us he will never get better. He will only get worse. And not only that, but we had people who we loved, believers who meant well, had our best interests at heart, start saying things to us like, you know, you've been praying for 3 years now. Maybe it's time to stop asking and just start learning how to live with this. But I couldn't reconcile that with what I knew the word said. And so we had to choose to believe God's word over people. We had to choose to let the word be the filter that we would send everything through. And I want to encourage you, do that. Let the word have the final word in your situation. And then we've got to declare these promises out loud. Girls, this is so powerful. I want to encourage you, take those promises, put your name in it, put your family member's name in it, and start to say them out loud. God will use this to encourage you and to build your faith. As I was going around the house, picking up laundry and doing dishes, cleaning the kitchen, whatever, I would say, even if he was with me, I'd look at him, Owen, by his wounds, you were healed. God, I will praise you. I will bless your name. I thank you that you heal all our sickness and disease. You send disease far from us. And Owen will not die, but he will live and he will declare the works of the Lord. So I will not give up. I will not lose heart because I know I will see the goodness of God in Owen's body. He's our healer. He's our great physician. So God, I wait on you. I put my hope in you. I put my trust in you. I will take courage. I will let my heart be strong and I will wait and expect for you to work because I know you're faithful. God, you will get all the glory in this situation because I believe that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I could ever ask or imagine in Owen's body, according to your power that is at work in him. Girls, find those verses. Put your name in them. Put your loved one's name in them. Declare them out loud. It is so powerful. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 says, "For as many as are the promises of God in Christ, they are all answered yes. So through him, we say our amen to the glory of God." Girls, take those promises, say it out loud. That's us saying our amen. And then we take action. You know, God's promises are so often attached to a call to action. The Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. And so we need to take steps to walk out our faith, to walk out our trusting of the Lord. And for me personally, in this situation, it looked like continuing to advocate for Owen, continuing to demand lab work or tests. Even though the doctor said it's not going to get better, I knew God was at work in his body. And so I wanted to see that. I asked for those. And then when we've done all of that, don't give up. Don't give up. Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." And then if you keep reading in verse 39, it says, "But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." You know, I love this verse in the Message translation. It says it this way, "But we're not quitters who lose out. Oh no, we'll stay with it and survive, trusting all the way." You know, one of the best ways that we can keep from being discouraged is to surround ourselves with others who are going to stand in faith with us, other friends who are faith-filled. This is one of my favorite things about Bridge Women. I remember when we moved here, I walked into a Bridge Women gathering and I was met with girls who were saying, "Yes, I will believe God with you. I will pray with you. I will stand in faith with you, even if you're starting to lose faith, I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to come alongside you. We're going to believe together." And you know, if you are someone who needs friends like that in your life right now, or you have friends like that in your life, I want to tell you, do not be discouraged from asking for the same answer prayer over and over and over again. I have asked these girls countless times to pray for Owen. Over 11 and a half years, I've been asking them, "Would you pray for Owen? Would you pray for his healing?" And you know what? They don't get tired of me asking for prayer and that. They don't get tired of praying. It's an honor to come alongside someone and stand in faith and pray with them. That means they're trusting you with that. And so don't be discouraged to ask. It is so valuable to have friends who will pray with you and believe with you. It's an honor to be that kind of friend in someone's life. And so for 11 and a half years, we've been praying. For 11 and a half years, we've been searching the Word, finding God's promises, holding on to those promises, refusing to back down, digging our heels in, refusing to let anyone else have the final word. And just last month, we got to see that Owen is healed. All 18 food allergies are gone. God heard every cry. He heard every prayer, and he is so faithful to answer. And you know what? He'll be faithful to you too. So don't give up. Don't lose heart. Keep on asking, because God is good. He's faithful. He cares. He sees you. He knows your need. And He is just. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to ask. I want to pray for you. Father, we love you. And God, we thank you for this example of the persistent widow in your word. God, we thank you that you are a good God, that you are just, that you care for us, and that we can come to you with every need that we have, no matter how big or how small. And God, we thank you that you want us to ask you for the things that we need with persistence. We thank you that we can come to you with those things over and over and over again, God, because you care for us. God, we thank you that persistence does a work in us. It produces faith and it produces hope. And God, we thank you for that. And God, for every woman watching right now, I pray that she would come to you with the things that she needs, that she would not lose heart, that she would ask and keep on asking. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would meet each one right where she's at, that hope would rise up in her hearts as she begins to trust you with these things, as she begins to find what your word says about them and meditate on your word and declare your word over her life. God, I pray that you would do a mighty work in her heart, God. And Father, I pray that we would see answered prayer as a result of women's persistence to keep on seeking you for all that they need. God, we love you. We thank you. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, stay tuned for some discussion questions. Love you, girls. We'll see you next time. Thank you.